8:35 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So Major League Baseball now has computer and camera monitors of every pitch at monitored stadiums. And that's been really, I think, great for baseball junkies. You get to analyze every kind of pitch, who's pitching what and in what kind of situation. And it may seem like data that's only applicable for baseball junkies, but actually it opens up a window into deeper social issues. And I know you're thinking, well, what deeper social issues does video of a pitch really show us? Well, it shows us how umpires call balls and strikes and whether there's a correlation between who the umpires are, who the pitchers are, and whether a ball gets called a ball or a strike. And embedded in that, of course, is what factors drive that call. Do racial factors drive that call? Joining us now is somebody who has just published a really, really fascinating study about this. Dr. Johann Suleman is with the Southern Methodist University. He is an economics professor there at the School of Business there. We have a link on our website, sirota.am760.net, to the new study about this, analyzing 3.5 million pitches from 2004 to 2008. Finding that there are some racial issues embedded in the calling of balls and strikes. Johann Suleman joins us by phone. Thanks for your time this morning, Dr. Suleman.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out by, before we get to what you found, just tell us how you are able now to have monitored and quantified 3.5 million pitches in Major League Baseball over a course of 4 years. So what's the mechanics of that? What's the process of that?
So let me be very clear here. What we are using is the pitch level data, and that's been available for quite a while. Now, what is new is the fact that the Major League Baseball has installed camera monitoring systems in some major ballparks, but not all, especially during the mid-2000s. So between 2004 and 2007, they have cameras installed in about half of the stadium, half of the ballparks. And that allows us to be more specific in terms of what we're looking for. So the data itself is available. There are a lot of websites that contain box scores information, but now they have pitch-by-pitch information. So,
and you can, just so I understand, you can quantify now where a ball is placed within the strike zone, whether it's on the edge, whether it's in the middle of the strike zone, and then, of course, whether it was actually called a ball or a strike.
That's correct. If you're watching, a baseball game now on TV, you can see that box usually in the bottom right hand corner. Mm-hmm. And actually, the Major League Baseball made the data available to everybody. It's called the Pitch FX system, and you can find it online. And you can follow your favorite player and look at where all his pitches are, and whether or not a particular pitch is called a ball or a strike. So you can see the location as well as the call.
Okay, so you crunched the numbers on 3.5 million pitches from 2004 to 2008. Tell us some of the key findings that you found when you looked at who was calling the balls and strikes and who was pitching.
So we have three important findings. The first one is that we find a slight bias in terms of umpires being more likely to call strikes for pitchers who share their ethnicity or race. So that's the first finding. The second is that we find that this effect is much stronger. And in fact, this effect only appears when the umpires are not being closely monitored, for example, using the camera monitoring system. So in ballparks where we don't have that system, where we didn't have that system, the umpires are more likely to call strikes for pitchers who share their race. The last result, which to us is the most interesting one, is the fact that pitchers actually pitch differently when they know that they may be facing bias. So, for example, pitchers are more likely to throw pitches that allow less subjective judgment when they anticipate bias. For example, by throwing fastball over the plate, as opposed to throwing a curveball or throwing near the edge of the strike zone. So they're just more likely to throw the ball down the middle in the hopes that they don't have to worry about what the umpire is going to call.
Okay, now I want to stop you there. I want to go over the two latter findings that you discussed. Yes. The first question I would have on the first finding about umpires who aren't being monitored. Just a technical question on that. If they're not being monitored, how do we know that racial bias is more intense if the strike zone isn't being monitored by cameras and computers?
So we don't know that in the sense that we don't know the location, for example, right? But what we do know is that their pitch ratio is much higher in those for same race pitchers in those ballparks. As opposed to in ballpark,
that more strikes are being called when it's a pitcher of the same race. Whether they're being, we just don't know where in the strike zone it is.
Now we don't have data on that. Now, but we do have data at the end of our sample, in the last year of our sample, we do have data on the location.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't have it in the paper where we try to control for it, and it doesn't seem to make any difference.
Okay, so when an umpire doesn't think that there's going to be this kind of macro data, the connection, the same race connection, is stronger. All right, let's move to the second finding of the latter of the three. This essentially pitchers recognizing this, and the question, of course, is: are they explicitly recognizing it, or are they sort of unconsciously recognizing it? I mean, I wonder, and there's no right answer to this, but I wonder. I would have to guess that it's pitchers saying, "Well, look, it's just it's a tough ump. This ump is, you know, because it's kind of an individual situation
right.
in each situation.
Right.
The pitcher says, "Well, this ump is tougher.
This ump has been tough on me, so mm-hmm. I'm going to change my pitch."
Okay, so then the upshot of this, and all of this is rooted in data. There's not just a correlation. I mean, there's a statistically significant correlation.
Right.
What does this mean then for pitchers of color, with most home plate umpires being white? What does this mean in practice for them? How does it hurt their performance? How does it hurt, when it hurts their performance, their pay?
So the most important, I think the most important link from this to society is the fact that there's been a lot of studies on racial discrimination, especially in the labor market, and most of this research has tended to focus on wage discrimination. Can we find wage disparity that cannot be explained by performance differential? Now, we are concerned that the performance measures themselves are flawed or biased. And this study basically shows us that, yes, there may be a bias in terms of performance evaluation when it's not being monitored.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, in the labor market, then I think the upshot is that monitoring should be considered when we are thinking about performance evaluation in general, insofar that it doesn't infringe on privacy rights, obviously. Now, what is important is that it's not monitoring that's important. It is potential monitoring. So, for example, random checks
mm-hmm.
would be one way to do that in real-world situation, because unlike baseball, you know, obviously you don't want to have cameras all over the workplace. So you just have to be creative about this because, again, assuming that we're not infringing on people's privacy rights.
Well, and this is this data that you're talking about here, this is indisputable. I mean, it's in many cases in the workplace, it's hard to necessarily quantify how institutional, structural, or even unconscious racism really works,
right,
because
exactly.
Different metrics are subjective. I mean, where a ball is in the strike zone and whether it's a strike or not, now that we have these monitoring systems, this is not a matter of subjectivity. I mean, it's an objective measure. And you find that applying the effects of favoritism, given that the average salary of starting pitchers in Major League Baseball was $4.8 million in 2006, the findings suggest that minority pitchers were underpaid relative to white pitchers by between $50,000 and $400,000 a year. And if pay is connected to performance, and these pitchers know that the different race ump from them is going to be tougher on them, and therefore they're pitching easier to hit
right.
pitches to get into that sweet spot of the strike zone where the umpire has to call the strike, then this is a clear example of where racial bias is actually impacting how a minority pitcher is paid. Let me ask you then the follow-up question. Does the study imply that umpires knowingly penalize races and ethnicities other than their own?
I doubt it. I think, you know, we obviously cannot make the determination because we don't know what the umpires are thinking. Now, at the same time, you know, from our point of view, it looks like subconscious bias on the part of the umpires, and that subconscious bias is less likely to manifest itself when they are being monitored, because monitoring, I think, makes them probably more conscious of the decisions that they are making, and therefore their subconscious bias are less likely to show up in their decision making.
Let me ask you one other question about the monitoring question. Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting findings in your study that I found was this idea of implicit monitoring. And again, online with us is Dr. Johann Suleiman. We have a link on our website, sirota.am760.net, to his study for Southern Methodist University about umpires and pitchers, a study that is a window into how racial bias works in the workplace. This idea of implicit monitoring, for example, an important pitch viewed by a big crowd when everybody is watching, it's a huge pitch at, let's say, the bottom of the ninth. So whether that umpire makes the accurate call or not, it's not just like a typical pitch. It's like the big pitch that's going to be replayed on ESPN SportsCenter. What did you find as it related to that kind of, as you call it, implicit monitoring?
So the idea there is that the umpires, when they are more careful with the decision, which is, you know, with all these big pitches, they know that it's going to be reviewed by a lot of people, like you said, on ESPN. They are more likely to be more careful, and therefore they are less likely to show their subconscious bias. And this is true in any other workplace. I think when I know my boss is watching behind me, that I won't be, you know, Facebooking all day, right? I mean, that's just human nature. I think you are more careful what you do when you are being monitored, directly or indirectly. I wouldn't want anyone to walk in on me when I'm, you know, when I'm doing Facebooking. So if I leave my door open, then it's less likely that I'll be slacking off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of that's the kind of things that we can bring to the workplace from this study, which is that, you know, you may want to require your employees to keep the door open.
And I think that you could take it one way or the other. I mean, you could take it that when umpires know they're being watched, they are not just more careful, they are more cognizant of perhaps their biases, and they don't want to let anybody on to their biases. The other way to look at it, of course, is that the biases are so unconscious, that they're so reflective, that they're so embedded in our culture, that they don't even know they're at work, but when they are in a situation where they know they're being watched,
right,
they are sort of becoming conscious, not of their biases, but just of making sure that the call is exactly right and not being on autopilot. Look, a lot of us
exactly.
are on
exactly.
autopilot in
I
parts
agree
of
with
our
you
job.
On that. That's a perfect analogy. I think you're making the perfect point.
We have a link on our website, sirota.am760.net, to this new study. I mean, it's really, when I read this study, and let me ask you one very, very quick follow-up final question about this. Is it's safe to say that the reason, or, and tell me if I'm wrong, but the reason you looked at baseball is because this is such a now, because of the monitoring system, you can really indisputably quantify this, whereas in the workplace, it's harder to quantify, is somebody doing a good job? I mean, there are some metrics,
right,
but there are other metrics that are intangible.
Now, the problem is that the metrics themselves may be flawed, and that's our point. You know, the point is that we can see the actual evaluation here. While in the workplace, what you have is the performance measures, and those measures may be flawed
mm-hmm.
to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And this performance measure, of course, in baseball, the reason to look at it through the prism of baseball is because now with these monitoring systems, you can really quantify it down to indisputable numbers. Johann Suleiman is a economics professor down at Southern Methodist University in their
Let me fix that for you. I'm a finance professor.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, finance professor. Sometimes I get them confused.
This is economic research, but
yes, down at SMU's Cox School of Business. We have a link on our website, sirota.am760.net. Check out all the data there, whether you're a sports fan or whether you're interested in workplace issues. Dr. Suleiman, thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
8:50 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up